Welcome to the Basic Money Matters Show, where we will discuss tools and tips to help you manage your money. Are you ready to get your finances in order? Well, here's your host, Annette Sullivan, certified public accountant and owner of Temple Management Consulting, to show us how.
Financial aid. It's hard to talk about college without mentioning financial aid. In many cases, financial aid can be the deciding factor in whether your child attends the college that he or she would like to attend, or whether they would even be able to attend college at all. This is the reason it's important to develop a very basic understanding of financial aid before your child applies to college. And when we say before, we mean years before. So in this episode, we're going to cover some basics to help you get started. What is financial aid? Well, financial aid is the money distributed primarily by the federal government and by colleges in the form of, number one, loans, number two, scholarships, and number three, work-study jobs. A student can receive both federal aid and college aid. So an ideal financial aid package will contain more grants and scholarships, because grants and scholarships don't have to be repaid, and fewer loans. So that's an ideal financial aid package. Now, financial aid can be further broken down into two categories. You can get needs-based aid, which is based on a student's financial need. And then there is merit aid, which is based on a student's academic, athletic, musical, artistic talent. Both the federal government and colleges provide need-based aid. The amount of federal aid available in any year will depend on the amount that is appropriated in the federal budget. And this amount is spread over different financial aid programs. For colleges, need-based aid comes from a college's endowment, and their policies can change from year to year and from college to college, which can result in, uneven availability of funds. Now, as far as merit aid, colleges are the main source of merit aid, and they often use favorable merit aid packages to attract the best and brightest students to their campuses, regardless of their financial need. So as you've heard of people getting a full ride scholarship, athletic scholarship, or a musical scholarship, or a full ride academic scholarship. Well, that is merit aid. The availability of college grant and scholarship aid tends to change from year to year and from college to college as schools decide how much of their endowments they're going to spend, as well as the specific, academic and extracurricular programs they want to target. So as a family who's researching college options, one of the best things you can do to help your bottom line is to target those colleges that offer significant grant and scholarship aid. We all want to minimize the portion of the aid that is for loans, because we want to minimize our debt. Now, every college offers a tool on its website called a net price calculator that you can complete to get an estimate of how much financial aid your child might be eligible for at that college based on your family's financial picture and your child's academic credentials. So it's a powerful tool, an estimating tool. Net price calculators ask for the parent and student income and asset information. And they take anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes to complete. So it's a really good idea to try out the net price calculator from several colleges to get an idea of what your out-of-pocket costs might be at different schools. In addition to colleges, there are many businesses, foundations, and other associations that offer smaller merit scholarships. Many of them have specific eligibility criteria and deadlines. So, you know, to find them, start with local scholarships, have your child check with their high school counselor's office and branch outwards. Various scholarship websites allow your child to input his or her background, abilities, and interests, and receive a matching list of potential scholarships. All of these things are free of charge. You should never have to pay for researching scholarship grant opportunities. So how is need determined? Need, financial need. Financial need. Now, I know you're probably thinking, I have the financial need. I know I should qualify for a lot of financial aid because I know my current financial situation. Well, there are standard formulas that are used. And the most important thing, it's like tax planning. You know, before the tax year ends, you know, before December 31st comes up, we all need to have been doing some amount of tax planning during the year, early in the year, before the year started. It's always about planning and thinking ahead, planning and thinking ahead. So you might think, well, my child is in middle school. I don't have to think about that now. Well, I would say you do have to think about that now. Because when we're talking about income and assets that are drivers of this financial aid calculation, it requires planning. It may require strategizing, moving things around in order to be in the best position in the years where you will need to apply for financial aid. And we'll talk about that timing. So financial need is generally determined by looking at a family's income, assets, and household information. Income, assets, and household information. Now, the federal government and colleges have slightly different formulas for determining a student's financial need. But the general process of assessing that is called needs analysis. So that's the process around determining your financial need, your family's financial need. The federal government has a financial aid application, and it is called FAFSA, F as in Frank, A, F as in Frank, Sam, A, FAFSA. FAFSA, which stands for Free Application for Federal Student Aid. The federal government and colleges both use the FAFSA when federal aids are being distributed. The FAFSA uses a formula known as the federal methodology. Colleges use one of two forms to determine how to distribute their own institutional aid. So most colleges use what we call the CSS profile application, while others can use their own specific form. The profile uses a formula known as the institutional methodology. So there are two methodologies. You have the federal methodology, which primarily determines the federal aid the federal government may use, and then you have the institutional methodology that the colleges would use. Under the FAFSA, your income and assets and your child's income and assets are run through a formula. It's always a formula. We won't get into the formula, but to understand that a basic formula is used for everybody, it's consistent. Now, you are allowed certain deductions and allowances against your income, and you're able to exclude certain assets, certain of your assets from consideration, including your retirement plans, the equity in your home, cash value of life insurance, and others. At the end of the day, parent income is assessed at a certain percentage. Student income is assessed at a certain percentage. And in fact, student income is assessed at a higher percentage than the parent's income. So what do I mean by assess? So essentially, they will allow a certain amount of income for the parents. Once your income exceed that amount for your household, your situation, once your income exceeds that, then it is assessed or considered as part of what you will be able to contribute to your child's college education. So for example, very, very simple example. So let's say the threshold for your family situation is $20,000 of income. Once you exceed the $20,000 of income, then the amount over the $20,000 is multiplied by some rate to come up with the parent's portion, or the portion, yes, the parent's portion that is considered for the family's contribution. Same thing with the student. Student income is counted at 50% over a certain amount. So if your if the bar or the threshold is X dollars, and for the 2020-2021 school year, that amount was right at $6,840. So if your student income exceeds $6,840, so let's say it was $8,000, then that additional around $1,200 is assessed at 50%. So they will take 50% of that $1,200 or $600 and say the student's income portion of the family's contribution is $600. That's income. So obviously the goal is to have favorable numbers in such a way that the family contribution is minimized. Parent assets. Parent assets are also assessed, but they are assessed at a much lower rate than your income. They are assessed at 5.6%, versus the income for a parent is assessed anywhere between 22 to 47%. So once the assessments are made on the parent's income, the student's income, and the parent asset, the result is a figure known as your expected family contribution, EFC. And that is the amount of money that you will be expected to contribute to college costs to be eligible for aid. Now, your EFC is the same no matter which college your child applies to. So it's not going to change if you apply to, you know, College A versus College B. Your EFC is going to be the same. So you can get an advanced estimate of your EFC by using the federal government's online tool. They do have an online tool called the FAFSA Number 4 Caster. FAFSA Number 4 Caster. So please remember that your EFC is not the same as your child's financial need. Financial need is, in essence, the dollar amount that you'll need from outside sources, not from your assets, but from outside sources, grants, scholarships, etc. So generally, the cost of attendance at any college less your EFC or expected family contribution will equal your child's financial need. So because all colleges have a different cost of attendance, then the financial need will change from college to college. So let's talk about this in numbers. So let's say you apply to two colleges. Your child applied to two colleges. The first college costs $40,000. That's the cost of attendance for College A. The EFC calculated for your family came out to be $20,000. So your expected family contribution is $20,000. So for College A, which costs $40,000, if your expected family contribution is $20,000, then your child's financial need is $20,000. But let's say your child also applies to College B. And College B's cost of attendance is $30,000. So it's a less expensive college. Well, your expected family contribution is still $20,000 because that does not change. So then your financial need is now $10,000. So you'll have less aid at the less expensive college. So the key thing to remember is that the EFC does not change from college to college, and the cost of attending each college, as is very obvious, is different from college to college. So all of these come into play when determining what your financial need would be as part of your financial package. So the college's profile application basically works the same way. However, the college's profile generally takes a more thorough look at your income and assets to determine what your family can afford to pay. So, for example, the profile might look at your home equity or amounts that you've contributed to medical and dependent care flexible spending accounts. In this way, colleges, they attempt to target those students with the greatest financial need, and that's for the college's specific institutional aid. So, with all said and done, what factors count the most in needs analysis? I hear you ask that question. Your current income is the single most important factor. Assets matter, but as we mentioned, the assessment percentage on assets is far less than the assessment percentage on income. So, income, assets, but there are other factors that play a role. How many children you'll have in college at the same time, and even how close you are to retirement age. So all of these factors play a role, and they can change every year. So let's talk about submitting financial aid applications and the timing. So the best way to complete the FAFSA is to fill it out and submit it online at fafsa.ed.gov. You can complete it manually and mail it, but the online route is best because if you make a mistake, it is flagged immediately and electronically filed FAFSAs take only a fraction of the time as a manually filed FAFSA. But to submit that FAFSA online, you and your child will both need to obtain an FSA ID, which you can do online. So you will need an FSA ID. So let's talk about some of the information that you'll need to be thinking about to plan to put together for the FAFSA, regardless of whether your child is a freshman in high school, a sophomore in high school, or even in middle school at this point. You need to know that the FAFSA relies on income tax information from 2 years prior, 2 years prior from the school year, your child's entering college school year. Okay, the income is needed from the income tax return 2 years prior. So, for example, in the upcoming 2021-2022 school year, college school year, you will need to provide the information from your 2019 income tax return. So when we say 2 years, if you look at the first year of the college school year, in this case, 2021-2022 college school year is your child's upcoming college school year. 2021 is the first number in that, in first year in that. So 2 years before that is 2019. So while you'll need the income tax and income information for 2 years prior, the asset information for this 2021-2022 FAFSA will be current asset information as of the time that you're applying. So asset would be current assets at the time of application, and income would be 2 years prior, which means that as we sit now, it is 2021. So this tax year, this year, 2021, is a year that is really, really important for those of you who have children who will be entering college for the first time. We're just talking about first year students, although the FAFSA is completed or renewed each year. For those who will be entering for the first time in the 2023-2024 school year. Please know that the FAFSA has the ability to directly import your tax information, okay, into the FAFSA using the IRS retrieval tool. You can complete that FAFSA as early as October 1 in the year prior to the year your child will be attending school. So for those who will be starting college 2022-2023, the FAFSA will be open and available October 1, 2021. Private colleges typically require both the FAFSA and the standard profile form or their own aid form, which you will need to submit by each individual college deadline. So the key thing to remember is it's important to start to research and understand the college deadlines, the federal aid deadlines, all of the deadlines that are applicable. After your FAFSA is processed, your child will receive a student aid report highlighting your expected family contribution. And those colleges that are listed on that FAFSA that you completed will also receive a copy of that report. Then once your child is accepted at a particular college, the financial aid administrator at that school will try to prepare an aid package to meet your child's financial need. The reason we are emphasizing this now and emphasizing planning is because planning is key. What you don't want to happen is that you're in the middle of preparing the FAFSA and had not already thought about or planned for your income and asset information several years prior, or where your college savings fund is being held. In previous episodes, we talked about the 529 plan being owned by parents. And so as such, would enter into the assets of the parents, but would be assessed at a lower rate of 5.64% or 5.6%. But we also talked about if you used a minor UTMA custodial account, those accounts actually are in the child's name or are considered the child's. And so they would be assessed at a higher rate and would have a more detrimental impact on financial aid. So it's important to strategize. So in another episode, we'll talk about some strategies or some ways that you can position yourself, income, and assets to enhance financial aid eligibility. And we will also talk about the most recent changes to the FAFSA that will be implemented in 2023. They are very significant. There are some name changes. There are some allowance changes. There were a number of changes that were enacted in December of 2022 that we will also cover in a future episode. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Basic Money Matters, where we take the complicated financial parts of your life and business and make it easy for you to understand. Our episodes are always aired on Hindsight Media Radio Network 103.5. Hindsight Media Radio Network 103.5, where there's always something good to listen to and good to talk about.
Thanks so much for joining us for the Basic Money Matters Show. Please visit our website at templemanagementconsulting.com. Be sure to tune in for the next episode of Basic Money Matters. Thanks again for joining us.